Well, that was a rousing rendition of Free Association with one Jonathan Parada. He's a legend. He really is.
He's been around. He's been around forever.
It's amazing.
Paul, I can remember reading his stuff even before, like, I got it, like when I was at Point Park or when I was younger. You know what I mean?
Like 40 years,
yeah,
literally.
He's been doing this. He's been, you know, it's so funny. I mean, he's the last. There's a few still around. You know, Mike White is one of them. Jerry Dulac has been around a long time, and I don't even think he's been. I mean, Mike White started at the Post Gazette in 1978. Think about that.
What?
Yes. He started in 1978 as a part-time like high school stringer type, and became full-time like 1980. So he's been covering high school sports literally for 40 years, something like that. What is that? I don't even know how. What is that? This is
more than 40.
Whatever. What I'm saying is,
right?
Parado is one. I mean, yeah. Cook obviously just retired.
Yeah.
You know, Gene Collier is still, you know, around, but I don't even know if he's like somebody that went through the whole 80s or went through the 80s, is he?
I know he was a Phillies beat writer for a while in Philly. I know he was here ever since I got here in November of 89, and I was reading Smizek, Cook, Collier, and Kiden.
And Kiden?
Yep.
God rest his soul.
He seems like he would have been a man that you would have had fun hanging out with.
So here's the thing. Yeah, I really liked Bruce Kiden. He was also one of the most brilliant newspaper men and writers that I've ever been around.
And he was into the card game
right?
Right.
But I tell you what, he was a stickler. Like, you know, for when he was the editor, boy, he was a stickler. But that's because he really, really, really loved the craft. And, you know, it was like holy to him to write stories.
You know who else was? Our old editor, Brent Spanton. You remember him?
Yeah.
The great Brentini.
Yeah, Brent.
Him and his wife used to work at the Valley News Dispatch. Yeah. My first full-time job.
Brent was great.
I didn't get till I was 29.
Yeah.
I used to lay out the sports pages for the Valley News on a giant Macintosh computer. So I would lay it out. They would print it, and his wife would mark it all up in red ink, all my mistakes. It was incredible.
Well, he was really good. He retired too.
Yeah.
That's why I said, like, a lot of the, you know, and then remember when you had, I'm going to give you a quote of a former boss of yours, and you can tell me who it is.
Yeah.
Joe, I would classify this story as an air sandwich. Good on the outside and good on the start, good at the end, but not a whole lot in the middle.
Steve Hecht?
Justice Hill.
Oh my God.
Remember him?
Justice B. Hill. I was the Penguins beat writer. I told him at the beginning of a season, I gave him my entire travel schedule, which included the All-Star game in Florida. So I get to the All-Star game in Florida. I call back with a story idea, and he says, "What are you doing there? Why are you there?" I said, "Because I cover the Penguins, and I'm at the NHL All-Star game. Like I said, at the beginning of the year. What do you mean, what am I doing here?" And he says, "I want a Yager takeout story." I'm like, all right. I mean, it's not like I'm going to get a one-on-one. He doesn't even talk to me anyway. But even if he did, I'm not getting a one-on-one. Oh, man, is that a blast from the past.
Yeah. Paul, so did you get it?
No. Hell no. Paul, we were wondering why we looked at you during the break. You were wearing your hat like Fernando Rodney. Sideways.
Crooked hat guy.
Yeah, I like that look.
Crooked hat guy.
Any particular reason?
No,
or was
I mean,
just
if you notice,
chance?
I took it off.
Yeah.
It was just getting hot. The first step is you kind of just move it off your head, so you know your the front of your head doesn't, you know, get that film of sweat.
You look great, didn't he? Look great, Limits.
Yeah, Fernando Rodney is the first thing that came to my mind when I saw him.
Crooked hat guy.
It's a good look for him.
Are there any crooked hat guys in the league right now?
Anybody left?
I don't think so.
No.
He's got to point up to the sky and give the, what did Fernando Rodney do, like the arrow?
Yes.
Remember when he pointed to the sky?
Oh, was that great. Let me ask you guys both some of the questions I asked Johnny at the end. Is Endy Rodriguez the long-term catcher in this organization?
I think yes. I think he has to be.
Yeah, I think he is.
And are you excited at that prospect? I am, and I don't think we talk enough about what a devastating blow that was to the Pirates. I really, really like that kid. He was good defensively last year. I think he was injured. I think he's going to be really good offensively, too. He had moved ahead of Henry Davis in most prospect rankings, right, incidentally.
I think he has a chance to be really good. I would agree. Absolutely.
He's a spark plug type of guy, like big energy.
Yeah, I love that.
Exciting.
Too.
Yes. Also versatile. He's played other positions like second, first in the outfield. So if Henry Davis does figure it out at catcher, or they move off from whatever it might be, put him in a different position, Davis or Rodriguez has that flexibility to do whatever, and also a decent bat. Didn't hit well when he came up, but still, I'm switch
still
hitter too.
Yeah.
I think he'll hit. Former Pirates minor league player of the year. Good player.
Yeah, I'm excited for his future, and man, that was a crushing blow, like a shocking development in the offseason, that not only was he hurt, he's gone for the whole year.
It makes you wonder, why are these guys playing winter ball?
It does make you wonder that.
Does Eddie Rodriguez really need these extra at-bats? Like, O'Neill Cruz, I understand, coming off an injury, but Rodriguez did not need to be playing in winter ball.
Yeah. Rowdy will leave here as a beloved figure. Johnny said yes, Paul.
I could see that. I mean, I think, honestly, you know, I think if he has a decent year and, you know, hits some home runs and continues to sort of get key hits and whatnot, yeah, I mean, you know, he's got that big, burly look, you know. That
he
guy,
can be a jolly man when he wants.
He's the guy that people, you know, he's the profile of the guy that people likes or people love to, you know, create like a folk hero out of, so yes.
And we're efforting him for the show tomorrow, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We put a request in to try to get him for tomorrow's show. And I don't know about if he's going to be a folk hero, but I think there will definitely be a lot more complimentary things to say about Rowdy Tellez than the detriment that we saw the first couple of months.
He's having a comeback here.
I'll be sad if you get him because I won't be here. I won't even get a chance to talk to him.
What if we played the clip of Paul calling him a singles hitter?
You think that would go over? I think he'd like that.
I don't think that would go
over. Or me calling him the potential biggest disappointment at the very beginning of the season.
I think Rowdy, in the end, gets it. I think he does get it. And I think, for the most part...
That would be a pretty funny bit, though.
That would be great.
If you said, hey, you know, by the way, yesterday, two days ago... My partner said, you know, oh, wonderful, because you singled in the first inning. My partner suggested you had become a singles hitter and not a power hitter anymore, and then you showed him by hitting a home run.
See, I think with Rowdy, and I'm not around the locker room anymore, but my gut tells me that Rowdy could go one of two ways in any interview. Become very irritated and short and clipped, or buy into it and be fun. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it would go hard in one direction or the other. You agree with that?
Yeah, I could see it. Seems like that type of person.
How do you think he reacts if he does come on tomorrow and I say, Rowdy, my partner's not here today, but he did leave us with this the other day. We play Paul yelling that he's a singles hitter and then play the clip of a home run.
I think he'd scoff at it and then say, oh, proved him wrong, something like that.
Let's try it, shall we? Nah, maybe not.
No, it's not.
Probably not. Let's not do that.
Luis Ortiz is one of the low-key best stories of this season.
Absolutely.
He was great yesterday. What are his numbers right now? Let me ask you what I asked Johnny. He winds up in the rotation. Parado said yes. Paul, what say
you? I saw somebody actually comparing his numbers to Jared Jones, and they are very, very close.
He's got a 3.23 ERA in 53 innings this season. He's 4-2.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have Luis Ortiz in the rotation.
Maybe if Bailey Falter continues to slide a little bit, or if you have an opening by injury, something like that.
Put Bailey Falter in the bullpen.
Yeah.
At the start of the year,
if it comes to that,
we were talking about how one of Luis Ortiz, Rowanzi Contreras, or Quinn Priester was just kind of bound to figure it out given the probability that one out of three is probably going to hit.
Yeah.
It's good to see who the Ortiz is with the other two struggling.
He's been really important for them. The Bednar injury, Paul, I said, is this a big deal, small deal, or no deal? And Johnny came up with his own category and said medium deal, this oblique injury.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a kind of injury that can linger.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of injury for a pitcher that's a power pitcher can be, you know, it can really take away from, you know, what he does well. So I would say, yeah.
I'm still going to go small deal, not being a doctor, of course, but they do have time and they have options as far as other guys that I believe could close games for them. They have two, actually, in Holderman and Chapman. And I think the time factor is the All-Star break's coming up. I think they'll be okay here, and I think he'll be fine. And, man, was he good in the month of June. He looked like David Bednar. Limits, thoughts on that one?
Small deal. I mean, Bednar in the first couple of months, he's given up more runs this season than he did in the last 3 years, and we're only in June. When he's healthy, I'm not concerned at all about him. Best closer, one of the best closers in baseball.
He's only given up one earned run in his last, I think, 14 appearances. I mean, he's been great. He's 6-for-6 on his last six save opportunities, 7-for-7, actually. Maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
Maybe even more than that, because we have to go back a long time to his last blown save. And in June, he had 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, and a 2.25 ERA. So let's hope, for the Pirates' sake, man, you put him, keep him in the back end, then you have your setup guys, and you're going to have a much better middle relief and long relief, potentially, with actual starters back there. A guy like Perez, who know, or Gonzalez. Perez was in the bullpen for Texas when they made their run last. Maybe Priester's a guy. You have Majinski. You have Borecki coming back, who I think is really talented. Nicklaus starting to pitch better. I think the bullpen's going to be really, really good in the second half, and that would be a major difference, right?
Well, I mean, honestly, it seems like if they get all their arms healthy, they're going to have an embarrassment of riches.
Could be.
And if they do, that goes back to our other discussion earlier today, which is you can part ways with a few of these guys to make your lineup better.
For sure.
Which means you'd have to trade a guy like a Priester or an Ortiz, because, I mean, nobody's going to take Marco Gonzalez or Perez for anything.
Throw one of these younger guys in as a sweetener. And everybody's looking for bullpen help. Sure, people would love Borecki or Majinski, too, by the way. Chapman is a guy you could still flip, incidentally.
Yeah, but you wouldn't flip those guys if you're in the Rays.
You might. Like he said, you've been about, like, what are the roles for all these people?
Well, Chapman's a high leverage reliever that can pitch the seventh, eighth, and he's pitching the ninth right now. You're not going to get rid of that.
Well, you might. If you have Holderman and Bednar and Majinski and Borecki and everybody else, you might. I'm just, they have options, I think.
There's options. Limitless. I don't think they'll go in that direction.
Limitless wonder. Keller's going to win 20 games. Johnny said no. I guess I'm going to say no, too, but I think he's gonna be up there. I think he'll get around 18. Paul?
Keller
is
going to win 21 games.
Ooh. How many guys won 20 last year? I'll look that up while you give your answer.
I just think I think he's a guy that has almost become, every night he goes out, you almost can guarantee he's going to go 5 or 6 innings and leave the mound with the Pirates having a chance to win.
One guy in all the majors won 20 last year.
Wow.
It was Spencer Strider.
That's
and
it?
Now, of course, he's hurt. One guy, and the next highest was 17. Like, this is an extreme rarity. The year before, one guy, Kyle Wright, won 21. 2021.
You know what that speaks to, though?
One guy. Urias from the Dodgers.
That speaks to volumes about innings, stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, for sure.
The monitoring of innings and all that other stuff and skipping starts and, you know, all that.
And analytics about that. Analytics that tell you the third time through is a bad thing. Do you guys know when the last time there were as many as 3 20-game winners in the majors? And either of you, the last time there was 3 20-game majors
2005.
Winners. Wrong. Paul? Rick Porcello.
So, hold up. I'm trying to think of a year here. I'll say 2009, actually.
2016.
16. Wow.
Porcello. Jay Happ, who was 20-4.
Should have never got rid of him.
And Max Scherzer. The last time there was 420-game winners, I don't know, we might have to go back, you know, decades. That's incredible to me. So the fact that Keller's sitting here on 9 wins is pretty remarkable. How many starts before the All-Star break? 3 more?
Couple more, yeah. How about what's happened since for those 20-game winners? Spencer Strider, the arm injury, who had 20 wins in 2023.
Yeah.
2022 was Kyle Wright. He's now pitching after he was traded from Atlanta to the Royals. He's got an ERA of about 6. And in 2021, Julio Urias, all the off-the-field stuff with him.
Wild.
It hasn't been good for 20-game winners recently.
No, it hasn't. I guess it's the 20-game curse. I presented to John the fact that Destiny's Child told us that Braxton Ashcraft will impact the Major League team this year. He said yes. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette's becoming a even Sheltie agreed with that, Paul.
I would think.
Unless you trade him?
Maybe, but I don't think they're going to trade him. I would think that would, but again, I keep coming back to this. If all these guys get healthy, you can't, there's just not enough spots for all these guys.
Yeah.
So, yes, okay, let's add him to the mix. I mean, where at what point are you going to have to say, listen, we have an embarrassment of riches here, and even though it's like, well, you can't ever have enough pitching, if you have 4 or 5 guys that you can't even get into the major league roster or whatever because you're loaded for bear, I mean, isn't that the poster child for the argument to go ahead and trade some of it?
Yes. Even the horrible trade, the Archer trade, you had Glasnow and you had Shane Baz. Shane Baz has never panned out. Why?
No.
Because like so many other young power pitchers, he got hurt. And so did Glasnow. Now, he might start the All-Star game this year. But if you look at his career, I think he's had one full season in the majors. One. So you traded those two guys, and it didn't turn out well. But it's not like they've both gone on to win, you know, 100 games. Tyler Glasnow has won 38 major league games in 9 years. That's 4 per season, Limitless Wonder.
Yeah, that's not good. And obviously, it's just continued to be heightened because of how bad Archer was. But it really was a deal that obviously the Pirates lost, but was not as lopsided as many thought it was at the time.
So they have so many of these guys, so many of these, you know, lottery tickets or maybe just scratch off tickets. Are they the same thing, Paul? What's the smaller version of the lottery?
Well, the lotteries are the one that you buy.
The daily double? What's the littler one?
Well, the scratch off tickets are the ones that you instantly can win.
Do you buy those? Do you try to win the lottery?
No.
Limits, do you or does any member of your family buy those?
No.
Every so often, if the Powerball or whatever gets to like $1 billion or something silly, I might throw a few dollars on it. But for the most part, to me.
What's your first move if you win $1 billion?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You'd move to Aruba, wouldn't you?
Of course. My first move would be I move to Aruba. I buy a place that I need, a boat that I need. I join the country club. I invest enough of it so that I never have to work another day or worry about money, and then I give the rest of it away.
Limits, you win the Powerball. What do you do with it?
I'd try to take a trip to Hawaii. I'd visit all the baseball parks. I'd save a ton of it, and I'd pay off a lot of debts and loans in my family.
Right. I mean, I would take care of my family.
I'd take care of everybody.
And you'd build one hell of a wiffle ball stadium, wouldn't
oh,
you?
Oh, the stadium would be built.
Patterned
in,
after
a, in a week.
But after Fenway?
Probably after Fenway or PNC, yeah.
But honestly, if I got $1 billion, right? Say they dropped $1 billion into your bank account tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, for what I would need, I probably would only need like $50 million of it to be comfortable for the rest of my life, never have to work. Then it would probably be another $50 million to take care of my family.
Yeah.
Now, I got $900 million.
Well, dude, that's assuming there's no taxes.
$400 after taxes.
I'm saying if they put $1 billion in your bank account, so your taxes are already paid. So now you got $900 million. I mean, I would give about $890 million of it to charity. Like, give it to, you know, various charities and different. I mean, what am I going to do with it? I'm not somebody like, I love when I have these conversations and guys are like, oh, I buy like this 50 cars and this and all. I don't need all that. Just a nice boat with a, you know, I can go out onto the ocean, a nice house that's got a.
What's the nicest place in the world? What's the nicest place in the world?
I don't know.
You ever see the, what are they called? The Maldives?
Do they have golf courses there?
Those islands?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I want a place where it's nice every day.
Well, Aruba, weather-wise, Aruba is perfect.
Okay, Aruba. So I buy a nice house there and one other house in another place where I can golf, where I can travel back and forth with my own plane, by the way.
San Diego is pretty nice. Weather's always great there.
I'd love that.
But the ocean's cold.
Is it?
You know, a lot of the year, yeah. The Pacific Ocean is really cold. The Aruba, the water's perfect. It's literally between like 82 and 90 every single day and sunny. If the rainy season, it rains for about 10 minutes in the morning, and that's it. That's the rainy season. There's no hurricanes there. The weather is perfect in Aruba.
Budget Air says these are the nicest places on earth, the most beautiful places in the world. Ha Long Bay in Vietnam, the Colosseum in Italy. Now, these are just like, these aren't places to live.
Right.
The pyramids?
You want to live at the pyramids, Joe?
No. Can you imagine living in one of those limits? You'd have a hell of a wiffle ball stadium outside of that place.
I can't imagine. Like, how are those how do they work architecturally, like, inside the pyramids? Like, have you ever seen
have you
the
ever
picture
been there,
of inside the pyramids?
I've seen pictures. I've never been there, no.
Where are the nicest places to live in the whole world? That's what I want to know. And that's where I would be, in two of them. I'd have a house in each one of them.
Wait, by the way, did you see this yesterday? Joe,
what? What happened?
This thing with Japan beat the United States in football? What in the world was this about?
Under 20 American football.
It was under 20 American football. I got to get more. But it was like they beat them like 41-20 or something.
Apparently nobody played. That was around the score. Yeah, it was bad by like 20 points.
They blew them out. They're up 26-0 here. Well, how in the world does a football team of people from here not beat every other team in the world if they're all the same age?
They've been practicing, apparently.
Nobody got an AL to play in the game.
Right, I'm just saying, you know, that's one of the things about, if people say, well, why isn't football an Olympic sport? Because it'd be stupid. That's why. But this game that happened yesterday, let's see. I'm just trying to figure out.
Was Duck Hodges our quarterback?
It's international, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm going to read. I got to figure out. When I saw that last night, I said, that has to be a joke, right? That didn't really happen. But it turns out it happened.
Yeah, I'm looking at the highlights right now. The places with the world's best climate, Panama, Costa Rica, Mexico, Ecuador, Colombia, and Portugal.
Yeah, I heard Costa Rica's weather is always pretty nice.
Have you ever been there?
I have not, but when I was in high school, a group that was in like the Spanish class took a trip to Costa Rica there for like 2 weeks, and it like did not rain at all. It was very nice and like 75 degrees.
Would you live in Switzerland city limits?
Probably not. There's only a couple of places that I think I'd want to live in all of like America. It would be Pittsburgh, Geneva on the lake, L.A., or Hawaii.
I've been to Osaka, Japan. That's 11th on this list. Place is unbelievable. I had sweet potato custard there. You go up to the ice cream stand, that's what they give you. It's incredible.
It's good? Sweet potato custard?
Yeah, custard. Yeah, it was amazing.
Interesting choice.
And the city itself was marvelous. Vienna, Austria, Paul, is the most livable city in the world, this says.
Vienna, Austria. Nah, I wouldn't want to live there.
Do they have golf courses?
But Austria, isn't there climate?
What's wrong with their climate?
Isn't there winter there?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, yeah, there is, of course.
I'm not trying
it's Austria.
To live there. I'm not trying to live in winter.
Yeah, me neither.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you there.
He's trying to live near the equator where it's always warm.
Who's going to represent the Pirates in the All-Star game? Who do you think will, not who should? How many? I mean, they stunk last year and they had two guys, Bednar and Keller.
They're getting two.
I think it's going to be Keller and Skeens.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think Reynolds is deserving. Who do you think will be there, Paul?
Keller, definitely. Keller, definitely. And Reynolds. Keller and Reynolds is who I say.
Man, that would be tough. If you're the commissioner has the latitude to say, literally on a bunch of choices, it's called the commissioner's choice. He can say, you better pick Paul Skeens. And if I were him, I would. You don't think, Paul?
Skeens, I think that he will if, I don't know. I think the Pirates have a winning record, but I don't know if he's going to add a third Pirate if they have a losing record still at the All-Star
break.
No,
they won't.
You know what I mean?
But if there's a third deserving, Colin Holderman has to be in the All-Star. He is deserving. Now, will he get there? No. But he's allowed, what, 5 runs in over 30-plus innings? 1.16 ERA. He's been one of the best relievers in all of baseball. He's deserving. He won't get in.
Right.
He can make a case for sure. All right, top of the hour, what you've all been waiting for. An entire nation, perhaps an entire universe. Yes, City Limits, they're waiting for this on Uranus. The quiz show is back. It actually returned last week to mixed reviews, as I recall, right? Weren't some texters attacking us?
Yeah, they said that we did not do the quiz show correctly or properly.
Well, I thought it was fun. It was me, Paul, and Bob, and we're going to give it another shot here. Me against Paul, Paul against me.